Okay, good morning and a good morning to everybody. Today's daf is Shabbos daf Lamed Ches. We are holding on daf Lamed Zayin and Beis on the last line of the page on daf Lamed Zayin and Beis. Today's shir is sponsored anonymously L'zchus Refuah Shleima for Noach Ben Yuspa Devarei Shnev Refuah Shleima Bekarov. It's also sponsored by the Snitau, Walfish, and Feinberg families B'zchus Refuah Shleima for their mother, grandmother, and great-grandmother, Tova Bas Golda. It's also sponsored by Jerry Gross for his dear 92-year-old uncle, Yosef Tzvi Ben Rachela Cohen, and Harav Chaim Aryeh Zev Ben Edel, who are both desperately battling the COVID-19 virus. And in the zchus of the Davshir, they and Kol Chole Am Yisrael should be zochet to Refuah Shleima Bekar of Mamish. And it's also sponsored by Daniel Hirschberg in memory of his uncle, Joseph of Richtig, Yosef Moshe Ben Tuvio Yaakov Halevi, who was nifter yesterday. He was a Talmud of Rav Soloveitchik and now shares a yard site with Rav Soloveitchik, and he was a five-cycle learner of the Daf Yomi, the Neshama Shev and Aliyah, and was also sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children. We thank all of the sponsors very much. If I could just remind everyone to please mute themselves. For some reason, I didn't sign on as the host today, so I don't have the ability to mute you, so please mute yourselves. I'd appreciate it very much. So we are holding on the very last line of Daf Lamed Zayin Amud Beis, and we are at Bo Minei Merib Chia Baraben. We're continuing the discussions in Parakira. We have these discussions of those things that are Asur Midrabbanan to do relating to the Malacha of Bishul. So we've been discussing the Isra of Shehiya on Shabbos, what the Gedarim are, the Machlokas, Hananya, and the Rabbanan, and a little bit about the Isra of Zara as well. So first we're going to talk today, what if a person did shehiya, the Isra of Shehiya Bishogeg? How does that, or does it, affect the food in any way? Does the food become Asr? Then we're going to discuss, what if a person did the Isra of Shehiya Bemazed? What happens then to the food? And then on Amud Beis, the Gemara is going to get into the conditions under which Chazara is going to be mutter, that a person would be able to put food back onto the heat source in order to keep it warm if you've removed the food from the heat source on Shabbos. Then the Mishnah in the middle of Amud Beis is going to talk about the Yisurim of Shehiya and Chazara, not by Akira, which is what we started the parak with, but with different types of ovens. Those ovens that are hotter, Kupach and a Tanur, those things that are hotter, and whether the Halachos are going to change based on the heat of those different types of ovens. And we're going to talk about putting a pot next to a Tanur, Samuch, in order to keep it warm. And right before the Mishnah, the bottom Mishnah, the Gemara is going to discuss the differences between a Kira, a Tanur, and a Kupach. And that's as far as we'll get today. So let's begin. We are holding on Daf Lamed Zayin and Beis, the last few words on the page. So, Bar Minei Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba, they asked the following Shaila from Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba. Shachach Kedera Al Gabe Kira. If a person forgot and he left a pot on a Kira that's not Garav Akatum, Ubishla B'Shabbos, and it continues to cook into Shabbos, so Mahu, what is the status of that food? Are you allowed to eat that food? So Rashi writes that the whole suffix over here is you're talking about a case where the food is not yet fully cooked before Shabbos, and it turns out that if you hold it, like Hananya, that you're allowed to do Shehiya as long as the food got to Machal Ben Drusai, this whole suffix in the Gemara is not Kalacha. The whole suffix in the Gemara is only if it has not yet been fully cooked, and you're assuming that there is an Isra Shehiya involved when it's not yet fully cooked. That's how Rashi understands. Tosos, however, in Dibra Maskul Shachach, disagrees with Rashi, and he says, no, the Gemara is Mesupak over here, whether you assume like Hananya, or whether you assume like the Rabbanan, because Hananya also has an issue with doing Shehiya. He just has different Gedarim, different rules. If it's less than Machal Ben Drusai, Hananya also has to Shehiya. So however you would like to define the Isra Shehiya, whether you're defining it by that which is Pachos mimachal ben drusayer, that which is not yet mevushal called tzarcho, or even not yet mitstamek viralo, however you want to define the Isser of Shia, we're asking, if you did it, bishogeg, does that affect the food? Is the food now going to be Asir? So Ishtik, Rabbi Chiya bar Abba, did not respond, lomer of lomidi, he didn't say anything. Lamachar nafak darishlu, but the next day Rabbi Chiya bar Abba went, and he darshened in the yeshiva, that it says in the Mishnah, hamavashal, b'shabbos b'shogeg, yochal b'mezid lo yochal, that if a person cooks on Shabbos b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat that food even on Shabbos, but if you cook b'mezid on Shabbos, you're not allowed to eat that food until motzai Shabbos v'lo shna. But as far as Shihia, we're not going to distinguish between Shogeg and Mezid. So that's our Reb Chiya bar Abba Darshan, but he didn't explain what that means, that as far as Shihia, we're not going to distinguish between Shogeg and Mezid. Does that mean it's all going to be Asr, or it's all going to be Mutter? Now, intuitively, one would imagine Shihia is not as bad as Bishul. So when it comes to Bishul, we're going to distinguish and say, now, b'shogeg it's mutter, b'mezid it's aser, you would imagine Shihia, which is only in Issa d'Rabbanan, is going to be mutter, whether it's shogeg or mezid. But he didn't explicitly say that, and maybe there's a svara to say the other way. Maybe there's a svara to say we're going to be more machmir by Shihia than we are by Bishul itself. Now, to be clear, this quotation over here from a Mishnah in Meseches Trumos, and it's a Tosefta over there as well, is really only a partial quote. The Tosefta says, "Hamvashel b'Shabbos b'shogeg yochal, b'mezid lo yochal," but then the Tosefta says, Divrei Rabbi Meir, that's Rabbi Meir's shita. Rabbi Yehuda Omer b'shogeg yochal b'motzoi Shabbos, that if you did it b'shogeg, you did bishul b'shogeg on Shabbos, you're only allowed to eat it on motzoi Shabbos, u'b'mezid lo yochal, and the guy who cooked is never allowed to eat it. Other people would be allowed to eat it on motzoi Shabbos, but the guy who did the cooking himself would never be allowed to eat it. And Rabbi Yochanan Sandler Omer, b'shogeg yochal b'motzoi Shabbos l'acherim v'lo lo, b'mezid lo yochal lo lo v'lo l'acherim. That if a person cooked b'shogeg, then he's allowed to eat it on motzoi Shabbos. He's never allowed to eat it, but other people are allowed to eat it on motzoi Shabbos. And if he did it b'mezid, nobody's ever allowed to eat it. So what we're quoting over here in the Gemara is only the sheet of Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yochanan Sandler are both more machmir. So from the fact that Rabbi Chiya bar Abba Dafka quotes the sheet of Rabbi Meir, Tosus and Chulin, Daf Tez Vava Menalev says, you see from there that the halacha is like Rabbi Meir, that it must be that we paskin like Rabbi Meir on this issue. So this is a very, very relevant halacha. That's a major machlokas Rishonim, how we paskin. It's a machlokas in the poskim. So anyway, so the Gemara goes back to try to explain what did we say so far? We asked, if a person did shihia b'shogeg, so what's the halacha? Is the food mutter or aser? So he said, when it comes to bishul, it depends whether you did it b'shogeg or b'mezid. But by shihia, there's not going to be a distinction between shogeg and mezid. So my veloshno, what do you mean there's no distinction between shogeg and mezid? Two possibilities, two opinions. Rabav Rav Yosef Damit Travayu Le'atera. We mean to say that even if you did it b'mezid, the food's going to be mutter. Because mevashalu d'kavod maisa, when you do bishul, you did a maisa b'yadayim. So the chacham made a knas, and they said, b'mezid lo yochal, aval hay, d'lo kavod maisa. But over here, you're not doing a maisa, shihia is just that you're leaving it there, cooking into Shabbos, so b'mezid nami yochal. Then even if you did it b'mezid, you're going to be able to eat it. Now, we had back on Daf Yud Ches on Beis, the Braisa said, lo tamali isha kadeira asasios v'termosin v'taniach l'toch hatanur erev Shabbos imchashecha v'im nasnon l'motsoi Shabbos asurim b'kadei sheyasu. So the Braisa describes a case of Shihia, and it says that it's asur to eat in l'motsoi Shabbos. So that seems to be against what we're saying right now. Right now we're saying that if you did Shihia, whether you did it b'shogeg or b'mezid, yochal, you're going to be allowed to eat it. So Tosos in Dibra Maschel Aval is bothered by this kasha, and Tosos says that the Gemara doesn't bother asking from there, because we anyway have a better kasha to ask on Rabba and Rav Yosef, meaning Enochinami. That would have been a good kasha against what we're saying right now, but as we'll soon see, we have better kashas, we have stronger kashas on the Shita of Rabba and Rav Yosef. The Rashash just points out that maybe it's not really a kasha, because over there we're talking about that she put the kedera in the tanur bikavana originally not to take it off, before Shabbos. So that's considered that you did a Maisa B'Yadayim before Shabbos, but you did a Maisa B'Yadayim. But over here we're talking about where there was no Maisa B'Yadayim, because the Rashash understood that our whole case is that you put the Kedera on the Kira with the Kavana to remove it before Shabbos, and then you just left it there. So that's really no Maisa B'Yadayim. So anyway, that's the Shita of Rabbah and Rav Yosef, that whether you do Shia B'Shogeg, whether you do Shihia B'Mezid, it's going to be Mutter. Shihia is less strict than Bishul. But Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Amar Li Isura, that while there's no distinction between Shogeg and Mezid, we go in the more Machmir direction. Mevashel Hudelo Asili Arume B'Shogeg Yochal. By Bishul, where we don't assume that a person is going to do a harama, that a person is going to cook b'mezid and lie and say that he really did it b'shogeg just so that he would be able to eat it, so they didn't bother making a knas against someone who did it b'shogeg. Meaning people take Bishul b'Shabbos very seriously. It's an issa d'oraisa. So a person is not going to do a harama and claim that he did it b'shogeg when he really did it b'mezid. So they didn't need to make an isser on the food when he did it b'shogeg. Aval hai, but when it comes to just shihi, that a person might come to do Shihia B'mezid and say, ah, it was an accident. So B'shogeg Nami lo yochal. The Chum had to make a knas that even if you did it B'shogeg, you're not going to be allowed to eat the food. We take away any motivation for someone to do a Ha'arama, for someone to say, to do a B'mezid and say, ah, it was an accident. So we say, oh, it was an accident? Still, too bad. You're not allowed to eat it. So we make this knas that even B'shogeg, one is not allowed to eat it. So now, we have these two opinions. The Shaila again was Shihia B'shogeg. Does it affect the food? So Rabbah and Rav Yosef both said whether you did it B'shogeg or Mezid, you're not allowed to, you're allowed to eat the food. It does not affect the food. The food is mutter. And Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak says that it's always going to be asur whether you did it B'shogeg or B'mezid. So Meisveh. So the Gemara now challenges. We have a brisa. Shachach k'der al gabe kiro bishl b'Shabbos. You left a pot on the kira and it cooked into Shabbos. B'shogeg yochal b'mezid. So we have this distinction between Shogeg and Mezid. That's talking about something that is not yet fully cooked. So there we're going to say that if you eat it, you were nene from the fact that the Bishul continued into Shabbos. Aval chamin shu chamu kol tzorchon v'tavshil shu bishel kol tzorcho bein b'shogeg bein b'mezid yochal divrei Meir. But if it was already fully cooked, so then whether it was shogeg or mezid, you're allowed to eat it according to a Meir. Rabbi Yehuda omer, chamin shu chamu kol tzorchon mutarin mibreshem et stamik v'ralo. If it's hot water that's already fully heated, so then you're allowed to eat it because the further cooking of hot water is bad for the water. It will just continue to evaporate and you'll have less water. But if most cooked foods, as you let them cook, even after the mavushal kol tzarcho, they become better. So you're getting hana'a from this shihia. V'kala mitstamik v'yafalo kugon kru v'pulim, and all mitstamik v'yafalo type of foods, like cabbage and beans, ubasar taruf and thinly sliced meat, Usr, you're not going to be allowed to eat it, but v'kol mitstamik v'ralo, mutter, that which is mitstamik v'ralo, that which as it cooks further is only going to become worse, like we learned yesterday, that which has flour in it, or that which has small pieces of meat, but you want to be mechabe guests with it, so that's considered mitstamik v'ralo, because you want to show off to the guests that they can visibly see the meat that's in there, that's going to be mutter to eat. So why is this akasha? So the Gemara explains. Katani Mia, the Brisa says, Tavshil Shalobishel called Tzarcho, that if you have something that was not yet fully cooked, there's a distinction between Shogeg and Mezid. So that's a Kasha on Rabbah and Rav Yosef, who said that even B'Mezid, it's going to be Mutter, and that there's no distinction between Shogeg and Mezid. It's always going to be Mutter. It's also a Kasha on Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak, because Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak also didn't distinguish between Shogeg and Mezid. It's just Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak went in the opposite direction, and he said whether it's Shogeg or Mezid, it's going to be Aser. This Brisa clearly distinguishes between Shogig and Mezid. So says Gemara, well, Bishlam Rav Nachman Ben Yitzchak lo kasha. It may not be a kasha on Rav Nachman Ben Yitzchak, because kan kodem gezera, kan liachar gezera. Rav Nachman Ben Yitzchak said the only reason that it's asr, even when you do it b'shogeg, is because of this gezera asi liarume, that we're afraid you're going to come to do shehiya b'mezid and you're going to claim that it was only a shogeg. So it could be the brisa that allows the food when it was done b'shogeg is before they ever made that gezera. Whereas Rav Chiya Bar Abba, who asrs even b'shogeg, is talking after they made that gezera. El Rav of Rav Yosef Darmi Latera, but according to Rabbi and Rav Yosef, that explained Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba as saying that whether you do it b'shogeg, whether you do it b'mezid, it's going to be mutter, the food is going to be mutter, even if you did it b'mezid. So then we have a problem with this brisa, because the brisa distinguishes between shogeg and mezid. So e kodem gzeira, if Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba spoke about before the gzeira, so kasha, so then it's going to be kasha from the brisa, kasha mezid, as far as mezid is concerned, because the brisa asked the food, and Rabbi Chiya Bar Abba was mati the food. And ila achar gzeira, kasha nami shogeg. And even if you say we're talking about after the gzera, then it's a stronger kasha. It's a kasha from shogeg as well, because after the gzera, even a shogeg is going to be aser, and the brisa that says shogeg is mutter is before the gzera. So how could Rabbi Rav Yosef say that whether you do shia b'shogeg, whether you do b'mezid, the food is going to be mutter? So kasha. So that's very difficult. That is in fact a great challenge to the shita of Rabbi and Rav Yosef. Rabbeinu Chananel is quoted by the Rashbam in Maseches Bava Basra on Daf Nun Beis and Beis. Rashbam is the Rashbam writes a running commentary like Rashi, except it only appears in a couple of Maseches. So Maseches Bava Basra is the longest Masechta in Shas based on number of Dapim because of the Rashbam, not because the Masechta has so many words, but because the Rashbam is much more wordy than Rashi. So in order to fill in the page, most of the page is taken up by Rashbam. So the Rashbam takes over in the beginning of the third parak of Bava Basra. He takes over from Rashi. So the Rashbam over there writes in Bava Basra Daf Nun Beis and Beis that when, in the name of Rabbeinu Chananel, that whenever the Gemara concludes with a lashon of kasha, it means that when they learned this sugya in the Beis Medrash, they didn't find a clear answer, but it's not an absolute rejection of the Shita. Rashi in Sanhedrin Ayin Beis writes something very similar. The Rashbam, however, himself disagrees, and he says, whenever it leaves it off with a kasha, it's an absolute pircha, and we are rejecting that Shita. It's just like a tiyufta. It's just that when the kasha is from a Mishnah or from a Braisa, we use the lashon tiyufta. When the kashas from Amaraim, we use the lashon of kasha. But kasha is also an absolute rejection. But sometimes you have a kasha from a brisa or a mishnah, and we leave it as kasha. So that's some of the achronim say, even the Rashbam would agree. If you have a kasha from a brisa or a mishnah, and we still only say kasha, maybe that's not an absolute rejection. Maybe that's not the equivalent of a tiyufta. Maybe that's also an indication that there is some sort of answer. So we kept on talking about some gezerah, before the gezera, after the gezera. So now the Gemara says, my gezerta, what is the gezera that we're talking about as far as shachach v'shaha, as far as leaving something b'shihiyah? Initially they used to say, that just like if one committed bishul, the yisr of bishul on Shabbos, if he did it b'shogeg, he's allowed to eat from the food. If he did it b'mezid, he's not allowed to eat from the food. So too, if you forgot food on the stove from before Shabbos, you forgot to take it off before Shabbos, you have the same rules that if you did it b'shogeg, you're allowed to eat. If you did it b'mezid, if you did shehiyah b'mezid, you're not allowed to eat from it. But Misha Rabu Mashin b'mezid v'omrim shechechamanu chazru v'kansu ala shecheach. But once people started doing it b'mezid, they started leaving their food there b'mezid, and they said, oh, we forgot. So then they started to make a gzeri even for on people who forgot that it's going to be aser. So kasha de Rabbi Meir de Rameir, and kasha de Rabbi Yuda de Rabbi Yuda. Ask the Gemara that Rameir in the Braisa is so ser, that we just quoted over here, is so ser the Braisa that we quoted on Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph. Because on Lamed Zayin Amad Aleph, Rameir, according to at least the way Rameir understands Beis Hillel, Rameir says that it's mutter to leave chamin, but not tavshil. Whereas over here, even tavshil, that's in a special called tzarcho, he's matir. And it's a kasha de Rabbi Yuda, because in the Braisa on Dav Lamed Zayin, we said that Rabbi Yehuda, in his understanding of Beis Hillel, allows Shehiyah of both Chamin and Tavshil. And over here, Rabbi Yehuda does not allow Shehiyah of Tavshil if it's Mitztamik V'yafalo. So says Marana, it's not a stira. Dramer, lo kasha. We don't have a stira in Rabbi Meir. Halachadchila hadiavet. The Braisa previously was talking about Shehiyah lechadchila. So Rabbi Meir says, only Chamin, not Tavshil. Lechadchila, you're only allowed to leave Chamin cooking, but not Tavshil. And the Braisa over here, that's Matir, Rabbi Meir is Matir, even Tavshil, means b'diavad, if you did shehiyah, the food is going to be mutter to eat, as if it was already in the special called tzarcho before Shabbos began. And Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Dinami lo kasha. We also don't have a steer in Rabbi Yehuda. Kan begrufo k'tuma. Kan b'sheinu grufo k'tuma. The previous price was talking about where it was where the stove was grufo k'tuma, the fire was grufo k'tuma, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda allows doing shehiyah on a tavshil even the chadchila. But over here the Bryce is talking about where it's ainu grufo k'tuma, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda does not allow even b'dieved that which is mitstamek v'yafalo. So that concludes the sugya of someone who did shehiyah b'shogeg. If you did shehiyah b'shogeg, does the food become usher or not? So the Gemara had said that according that it's loshna, it doesn't really matter if it was shogeg or mezid. We rejected the shita of Rabba and Rav Yosef. We seem to accept the shita of Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak that whether you do it b'shogeg or b'mezid, the food is going to be aser. So now ibayilhu avar v'shaha. What if a person did shehiyah on a kira that's not grufo k'tuma? My, what's the halacha of the food? Mi kansu rabbanan olo. Do we make a knas mid rabbanan if you did shehiyah b'mezid, or do we not make a knas mid rabbanan? So the Marsha says, I don't understand. We just got through the last sugya. The last sugya, when it raised the shaila about someone who did shehiyah b'shogeg, the way we answered it was saying that it's aser whether you do it b'shogeg or mezid. So we said that bein kodem gzeira bein liachar gzeira, b'mezid is going to be aser. And even if it's mufushal called tzarcho, it's just that it's mitzdamik v'yafalo, Rabbi Yehuda would say aser. So the Marsha explains that our Gemara now is not talking about mezid gomor, meaning that you knew that it's aser to do shehiyah and you did it anyway. No, our shaila now is a case of omer mutter, that you were mezid in the sense that you put it on the fire before Shabbos, fully intending that it should remain there into Shabbos, but where you messed up was you thought that that was a mutter thing to do. So that's going to be more lenient than a person who knew that shehiyah was aser and does it anyway. So that's what we're saying over here. Our shaila is something that's a little more kal than a person who purposely violated shehiyah. We're talking about a person who purposely did shehiyah, but he thought that the shehiyah was mutter. That's how the Marsha understands our Gemara's question. So Tashma says, Mar, let's reposhate the suffix from the following. Da'amar Shmuel Barnas and Amar Bichanina, Kishalach Rabbi Yossi Litzipore. When Rabbi Yossi went to Tzipore, Nissim Gom points out, why would Rabbi Yossi go to Tzipore? Because we learned back on Dav Lamed Gimel, the story that led into the whole Rashbi and the cave sugya, that Rabbi Yossi Sheshasak, Rabbi Yossi who was silent, the Romans were gozer yigla litzipori. He would have to go to Golus to Tzipori. So that's how Rabbi Yossi ended up in Tzipori. Meaning when the Rosh Hamedabrim Bekol Makom, Rabbi Yehuda was the Rosh Hamedabrim Bekol Makom, who earned that title of Rosh Hamedabrim Bekol Makom because he was praising the Romans. Look at all the wonderful bridges they built and all the markets that they built. Rabbi Yossi didn't say anything. So for not saying anything and not encouraging such praise, he was sent to Tzipori. Rashbi and Reb Lazer, they got into trouble because Rashbi, said that they all did it l'kavod atzmam, and he criticized them. So anyway, so when Rabbi Yossi went to Tzipori, matzah chamin shenishtau al gabi kira below asar lahen, he saw that there was hot water that was left b'shehiyah on a stovetop that was not garuf, and he did not asar it because it was mitzdamik for alahem. Beitz and mitzumakos, he found eggs that were very roasted, shenishtau al gabekira, that were also left b'shehiyah va'asalen, but that he asered because that was mitzdamik v'yafalo. So my, what does Rabbi Chanina mean that Rabbi Yossi asered the beitz and ba'achila? Lav la'osa Shabbos, doesn't he mean that Shabbos they were not allowed to eat those eggs? So you see that if a person violated shehiyah, it's b'mezid, it's aser, that's why he asered them from eating those eggs? So don't you see that that's a clear answer that if you do it b'mezid, it's aser? Lo, the Shabbos haba. No, Rabbi Yossi didn't tell them they're not allowed to eat those eggs that Shabbos. He told them, you see what you did here? Don't do it again. Next Shabbos, you're not going to be allowed to do this. You're not allowed to do Shehiyah. That's all he was saying. But it could be that to eat those eggs that Shehiyah was already done on is going to be mutter. So the Gemara discusses whether Beitzim Tzliyos are considered Mitztamik V'yafalo. Mechlal de Beitzim Mitzumakos Mitztamkos V'yafalo Ninu. It sounds like it was Mitztamik V'yafalo because otherwise there would be no Isser. If it was Mitztamik V'ralahen, he never would have asked it. Just like we don't aser chamin, because chamin, hot water, is mitzdamik v'ralo, because it just evaporates. So says Mar in, yeah, that's exactly correct. Amar of Cham Bar Chanina, pam achas nisarachti aniv Rebbe l'makom echad. One time on a weekday, I happened to have been with Rebbe somewhere, v'yivil l'fanenu beitzim mitzumakos, bu'uzradin, and they brought us beitzim that were totally shriveled up, that were really cooked well, with a certain type of a pri, v'achalname en harbe, and we ate so much of them, because the more they're cooked, the more overcooked they are, the better they become. So that in fact confirms that beitzim are mitztamek v'yafalehen, that the more you cook them, the better they become. The Yerushalmi, the Bir Lacha points out that the Yerushalmi writes in Mesach Shabbos that beitzim mitzumakos are mitztamek v'ralehen. So Bir Lacha points out that it could be the Yerushalmi is talking about beitzim that are placed on gechalim, where they become charred by the tzimuk. But in a Tanur or in a Kira, it could be that mitztamek v'yafala. I mean, it could be that there are different ways to prepare eggs, and based on the way you're preparing it, it could be that it's mitztamek v'ralo or mitztamek v'yafala. So, on Pesach, talking about a roasted egg counts as a daf yomi coincidence. So says Gemara now to the next sugya, the sugya of chazara, of putting food back onto a heat source. So b'silam af machzirin. B'silam said in the Mishnah, you could even return a pot to a kira as long as it's garaf akatum. So I'm Rav Sheshes, l'divrei ha'omer, machzirin afilu b'shabbos. If you hold that machzirin, according to Beis Hillel, that you're allowed to do chazara of a kedera onto a kira, it's even when on Shabbos day, even though it's not so obvious when you take something off on Shabbos day that you plan to put it back on, because it's already Shabbos day, you're not going to need so much more hot food. So you take the chalent off for Shabbos lunch, it's not so obvious that you're going to put the chalent back on, whereas on Friday night it is pretty obvious that you're going to put it back on. Nevertheless, he was still matir chazara. And the key over here is the key to remember is chazara is going to be mutter essentially whenever we can view the replacement, the putting it back on the fire, as a continuation of the original bishul. But whenever we view it as a break, that it's been removed from the fire, stop, and now you want to do a new maisa of putting it on the fire, that's where chazara is going to be problematic. So that's why the Gemara is making a big deal, afilu b'shabbos, that even if it was during the daytime, where removing it appears to be a total break, it looks like you're not going to put it back on at the time that you remove it, even then it's going to be mutter. Even that we're under conditions that we're about to say, where we're going to give some conditions, but even then it's going to be mutter. Friday night it's more obvious, because Friday night when you take the chalent off of the blech, it seems more obvious that you're going to put it back on the blech, because you're going to want hot food for Shabbos day. Va'af raboshi asavar, af machzir nafilu b'shabbos, that you're allowed to be machzir even on Shabbos day. Dam raboshaya, pamach asinu omdim le'ilam rebchia rabba. One time we were being meshamish rebchia rabba, and we took a little pot of hot water and we brought it from the lower level to the upper level, you know, to the upper story of the house. And we poured him a kos of hot tea or whatever, a hot water. And then we put the kumkum back in its original place on the stove. And he didn't criticize us. So you see that even on Shabbos day, you're allowed to do this. You're allowed to be machzir on Shabbos day. So now the Gemara explains when. What are the conditions that would allow chazara to akira that is grufa uketuma? You know, chazara on Erev Shabbos is going to be mutter for sure, right? That's what the Rush writes. The Rush writes in Simin Beis that to put something back on an Erev Shabbos, that there's no shaila, that's going to be mutter. Chazara on Shabbos itself, that's where we need certain conditions. The Ran, however, says that all of the conditions that we're bringing over here are only about someone who takes a kedera off on Erev Shabbos and wants to put it back on Shabbos. But if it was there already when Shabbos started, a very famous Shitas Haran, the Rama quotes in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Nun Gimel, Rama says we should not rely on it, but sometimes B'Shas Hadchak, there are certain poskim that rely on it. The Shitas Haran is that if the food was there when Shabbos started, it was already on the blef when Shabbos started, then automatically it's going to be mutter. You're always going to be allowed to do chazara. You could take it off without daitalach, without all the biyada, without all the conditions we're about to mention. As long as it was there when Shabbos started, you're allowed to replace it. That is the Shitas Haran. So the Gemara tells us, Am Rabbi Zreker, Am Rabbi Abba, Am Rabbi Tadoi, Lo Shanu El Shodan Biyado, Avlinichon Gabi Karka Aser. This whole heter to take your chalent off of the blech and then put it back on the blech, that's only if you kept it in your hand the whole time. But if you put it on the floor, meaning that's a total siluk of the original bishul, that's a total ending of the original bishul, then it's going to be aser to put it back. Am Rabbi Ami Rabbi Tidai Da'avid Legarmeu Da'avid. When he passed in this way, it was for himself, meaning he is a das yachar on this. Elohachi Am Rabbi Chiyam Rabbi Yochna Afilu Nichal Gabi Karko Mutter. No, even if you put it on the floor, it's mutter. So Pligiber Avdimi Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda V'Tzvay. Both of them say in the name of Rabbi Lazar, that meaning they argue what Rabbi Lazar held. Chad Amar Odon Biyado Mutter Al Gabe Karka Aser V'Chad Amar Nichal Gabe Karka Nami Mutter. They have the same Maklokas. If you put the pot of chalent on the ground, is it still going to be mutter to put it back on the blech? Amr Chizki Mishmeid Abayi Hada Amrat Odon Biyado Mutter Lo Amar Ela Shadayt Ala Achzir. Even when we say that if it's still in your hand, you're allowed to put it back on the blech, that's not the only condition you need. You also need daita lahachzir. You also need to have in mind to put it back when you first took it off. Avalein daita lahachzir. But if you take off the chalent thinking that you're not going to put it back, or not having in mind to put it back, usher, then you're not going to be allowed to put it back, because that's considered a nesina lechachila. It's considered a new act. It's not considered an extension of the original act. Mechal dal gabe kar, which would imply that if you put it on the ground, even though you initially took it off with the intention of putting it back, it's going to be aser. Meaning, according to this lashon of the Gemara, this version of the Gemara, you need both things. You need oda biyado, and you need daita lahachzir. Both of those conditions are necessary. Now, if you open up any Kitzur Hilcha Shabbos book and you try to figure out what are the conditions for chazara to be done, you will see there that there are four conditions. We only have in the Gemara two conditions, right? That Oda Biyado and daita lahachzir. But any decent Kitzur Hilcha Shabbos book will tell you there are four conditions. What are the four conditions? There are these two, and there's that it has to be garuf hakatum. Well, of course, it has to be garuf hakatum, right? In order to do chazara, you need the fire to be covered. Otherwise, we have a problem that it's mechzi kemevashel. It looks like an act of cooking, and you have a concern of shemi yichata begechalim as well. So, of course, it needs to be garuf hakatum. The Gemara doesn't have to mention that over here. The whole assumption of the Gemara is that the fire is garuf hakatum. And the other condition that's always mentioned is it has to be mevushel kol tzarcho. The food already has to be fully cooked. Well, of course it has to be fully cooked. Otherwise, you're not in violation of shihi or chazara. You're in violation of bishul d'oraisa. Obviously, if you're taking raw food or partially raw food and you're putting it on a heat source, so that's obviously going to be bishul. That's why the Gemara doesn't have to relate to those two qualifications, because those qualifications are obvious. But ikat amri, there is another version of these two qualifications of Oda Biyado Daita Lahachzir. Again, the first version was that both are necessary. It has to be Oda Biyado and it has to be Daita Lahachzir. Ika Damri Amr Chizki Mishmei Dabayi Ha Damri Dal Gabi Karka Osir Lo Amr El Shein Daita Lahachzir. The only problem with putting it on the ground is if you don't have das to be machzir. Aval daita lahachzir mutter. But if you had daita lahachzir, then even if you do place it on the ground, even if you do let go of it and leave it on the ground, it's going to be mutter. Mechal shabodim yadav bishein daita lahachzir mutter. So it sounds over here, according to this version, more makel than the first version. You only need one or the other. You either need oda biyado or daita lahachzir, but you do not require both oda biyado and Daita Lachzir. The Rif and other Rishonim Paskin L'chumra, like the first version, that you need both Oda B'Yador and Daita Lachzir. The Ran explains the Rif, that even though Chazar is only an Issa D'Rabbanan, you have two versions of the Gemara over here, so you would think that this is a Safek on a Din D'Rabbanan, so we should for sure be Mekil. So the Ran writes that since it's Karov Hadavar, Lovely Day Yisr Torah, since this is something that could very, very easily and likely lead to an Issa D'Raisa, we're going to have to be more machmir, even though it's a machlokas about a din derabanan. The Ritva, however, and many other Rishonim, paskin like the second Lashon, Lekula, and this actually plays out on the page of Shulchan Aruch, on the page of Mishnah Berurah, in the Bir Halacha, and Simen Reish Nun Gimel, he discusses whether you require both. So certainly, L'chadchila, we try to do both. We try to have Oda B'Yado and Daita L'Achzir. But if a person doesn't have both, Oda B'Yado and Daita L'Achzir, but as one or the other, we can be Mekel. So by Rabbi Yirmiya, Talan b'makel mahu. What if you didn't put it on the karka? You just hung it on a hook or something. So yinich al gabi mita mahu. Or what if you put it on the counter? You didn't place it on the ground. You put it on a mita. So is that considered odem biyado, and therefore you're allowed to put it back? Or do we say no? Since you took your hand off of the pot, even though it's not on the ground, it's on the mita, but you took your hand off of the pot, that's considered that it's no longer odem biyado. Or by Ravashi, pina mimecham lemecham. Mahu. What if you, after you took the pot off of the kira, you poured the water into another pot? So what's the din? Are you allowed to put the second mecham where the water now is back on the kira that's grufa, because that water was already on the kira? So it's not considered a new shihia. It's not considered that you're starting a new act. It's chazara. It's continuation of the old act. Or maybe we say no. It's in a different kli now. You moved it into a different utensil, and once you move it into a different utensil, so now it's considered a new act, and therefore it's going to be aser. So on all these shailas teku, the Gemara leaves it as an unresolved question. The Ritva writes, and therefore we could be mekel, because all of these things are only isur midrabanan. We're not talking about an isur d'oraisa of bishul. However, the Tor paskins l'chumra, and the Beis Yosef says, why would we paskin l'chumra in a suffix like we just explained before? Because it's Karov Hadavar, that it's going to be Yavali De Yisr Torah, that this is a very serious Yisr Drabanan. There is an important Ha'ara that, more than a Ha'ara, it's really a full-length shir, but we'll try to say it quickly, that Mori V'Rabbi Rav Shechter points out when it comes to these Yisurim of Shihia and Chazara. See, when it comes to Yisurim of Shabbos, Rav Shechter points out in Eretz HaTzvi, Simen Vav, one of his most brilliant pieces, when it comes to the Yisur of Shabbos, there are three different types of Yisurei Shabbos. There are Melachos D'Oraisa, there are Melachos D'Rabbanan, and there are Gzeiros D'Rabbanan. Some of the Yisurim D'Rabbanan of Shabbos, the Rabbanan made it as a Melacha D'Rabbanan. And some of the Yisurim of Shabbos are not a Melacha D'Rabbanan, it's a Gzeira D'Rabbanan. It's not that you're doing a version of the Melacha that's only a D'Rabbanan version of the Melacha. You're doing something that might lead you to a Melacha, but what you're doing cannot be classified as a Melacha, would only be classified as a Gzeira. Mekach u'memkar, right? So what Melacha are you doing? You're doing kosev midrabanan when you're doing business? No, you're not doing kosev midrabanan. You're doing an act that might lead to ksiva. That's a gzeira midrabanan. Now, there is a very important chiluk based on a Rashi Masech Sanhedrin between Melachos Drabanan and Gzeros Drabanan. And that is that when it comes to Melachos midrabanan, you can only violate a Melacha b'kum v'aseh, actively. Passively, a person cannot violate a melacha. However, there can be a violation of a gezeira in a passive sense. And that's why Rav Shechter points out, the Isra of Shehiya is clearly only a gezeira, because Shehiya is always done passively. Shehiya is never done actively. So Shehiya, by definition, is always going to be a gzeira. I mean, Shehiya means, by definition, you left the food cooking into Shabbos. What about the Isra of Chazara on Shabbos? So the Mishnah Berurah and Simen Reish Nun Gimel in the Bir Halacha quotes a Ma'arit that it's mutter to tell a non-Jew to do chazara on food that's fully cooked on a fire on Shabbos for the sake of Suda Shabbos. Why? Because the whole Issur chazara in the first place is only Nisad Rabbanan. Amir Lakum is Nisad Rabbanan. Shvus to Shvus B'makom Mitzvah, so it's going to be mutter. And yet, many other poskim hold that it's Asr. Why would you hold that it's Asr? What's wrong with that that explanation. Shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah. So Rav Schechter suggests that maybe the Isser Chazara is not an Isser of a Malacha Durabanan. Maybe it's a Gzeira Durabanan. And whenever you have a Gzeira, even it just happening without you doing anything is a violation of the Gzeira. And therefore, Amira La'akum doesn't knock it down a notch. When it comes to a Malacha, so since a Malacha by definition is active, when I ask a guy to do it, so that knocks it down a notch. But when it comes to a gezeira, gezeira by definition could be passive also, even if I'm not doing anything. So asking a guy to do it and then having it done for me is also a violation of the gezeira. So it could be when it comes to chazara, if it's a gezeira, that it's going to be aser, even when it's when you do amir la'akum on it, even when it's done passively. And therefore, if Schechter suggests, quite a chumrah, he says, if you have a hot plate that's working on a Shabbos clock that that it's going to turn on Shabbos on its own, you're not doing any maisa at all. But the pot that you leave on that hot plate is muchzeres me'eleha onto the fire. So maybe that's included in the gezeira of chazara because that's considered b'shevi al taseh, and the gezeira could be violated b'shevi al taseh. He points out the shmir Shabbos kilchasa is mekil on that shaila because he must be assuming that it's a malacha d'rabbanan, and a malacha d'rabbanan cannot be violated b'shevi al taseh. Only a gezeira d'rabbanan could be violated b'shevi al taseh. Based on that, Rav Schechter wanted to suggest that maybe we should be machmir not to set an alarm clock on Erev Shabbos that will wake you up on Shabbos. Because what's the Yisr? Mashmiya Kol. Is Mashmiya Kol a Malacha or a Gzeira? Mashmiya Kol is a Gzeira. And therefore it could be that it's violated even B'Shevi Altasa, even if you leave it. So that's Rav Schechter Paskins like this Halacha. He has a lot of Chumras based on this Lamdus. Okay, let's try to get weiter over here. So says the Mishnah, Tanur Shisiku B'Kashu B'Gvava. If you fueled a Tanur with Kashu Gvava, Lo Yitein Ben Mitocha Ben Mial Gabav. You're not allowed to put chamin or tafshil in the tanur or on the tanur. Kupach, a kupach, which is another type of oven or a stove, but it's a little hotter than a kira. She sikua bekashu v'gvava, areza kikirayim. It is like a kira, and therefore you're allowed to put a tavshil into it. Begeves uveitzim areu ketanur. But if you heat it with geves and eitzim, then it's like a tanur, and you're not allowed to put food into it. So tanur she sikua sover of Yosef lemeimar tocho tocho mamish al gabav mamish. Avalismok shaper dummy. So he thought that yes, we're asering putting something in it or on it, but putting something next to it is going to be mutter. So Esve Abaye challenges that. Kupach shisiku b'kashu b'gvava areu k'kirayim. If you have a kupach that was heated b'kashu b'gvava, so then it becomes like a kirayim. B'gefes v'eitzim areu k'tanur v'asur. But if you heat it with gefes and eitzim, it's like a tanur and it's going to be asur. So ha'kakira shari. But if it were like a kira, it would be mutter. B'mayaskinon. Well, what's the case exactly? Ilei mal gabav. If we're talking about that you place something on the kupach, Ubimai. So what do we ask? Or what's the case of the situation where a kupach, the Mishnah is talking about a kupach that would be aser? Ilem kshenu garvakatum, elakira kenu gruvakatum al gabav mishari. If we're talking about where it's not garvakatum, well, if it were a kira that was not garvakatum, would that be any better? Would that be mutter? Elulav lismoch. It must be that we're talking about putting the pot next to the kupach. And it says that it's like a tanur and it's asur. So you see that you're not allowed to do even smicha to a kupach. So because it's like a tanur, so obviously you're not allowed to put something samuch to a tanur either. So says Gemara, that's not a proof. Amar Ravada Barava, hacha b'kupach garvakatum. The tanur gruvakatum askinan. We're talking about something that's garvakatum, and we're talking about putting it on it, not next to it. And what the Mishnah means to say is as follows: if you have a kupach that was fueled with gefes and etzim, harehu ketanur. The aval gav de garvakatum al gabav aser. That it's like a tanur that even if it is garfakatum, it's going to be asr to put on top of, because garfakatum doesn't help a tanner, and therefore it doesn't help a kupach either if it was heated with gefes and eitzim. And now I understand why the Mishnah has to equate the kupach with the tanner. Di kakira ki grufo k'tuma shaber dami, because if a kupach were like a kira, well then when you swept out the coals, that would be good enough. And tiny kavasei dabai, we have a brisa that says, like Abaye, that you're not allowed to do smicha of the pot next to the tanur. Tanur shi sikuhu bekashu begvava. You're not allowed to put the pot next to it. Vein sarach lomar al gabav, and certainly not on it. Vein sarach lomar al tocha, and certainly not into the tanur. Vein sarach lomar begefes of eitzim, and certainly if you heated it with gefes and eitzim. But kupach shisiku bekash ubegvava, if you have a kupach that was heated bekash ubegvava, then it has a din of akira, and therefore somchen lo, you could put the pot next to it. Veinos al gabav, you just cannot put the pot on top of it, and certainly not inside of it. But begefes of eitzim, if you heated it with gefes and eitzim, now the kupach becomes more strict. It becomes like a tanur. So ein somchelo, you're not even allowed to put the pot next to it. Certainly not on top of it, and certainly not inside of it. So you see clearly in this brisa that even smicha eitzel a tanur, even smicha next to a tanur is going to be asur. So you see kupach has this status of somewhere in between a tanur and a kira, but we do see clearly from the brisa that smicha eitzel a tanur is going to be asur. Okay, we'll stop there, and Bez Hashem tomorrow we'll pick up with a discussion of why kupach is somewhere in between a tanur and a kira, some of the halachos of a kupach. So Bez Hashem, we'll pick up with that tomorrow. Everyone have a great day. Guten Morgen.
My name is